Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Church. We exist to honor God through reaching our city and touching the world with the amazing love of Jesus Christ. Now, let's join Senior Pastor Rick Shelton for this life-changing message.
Let me just take just not too long here. Breaking down something for you, and I want you to just listen to me very carefully. You know, God laid on our hearts, really it's been this whole year. Actually, you know, it's interesting. You know, I often make fun of some of our guys. I mean, I pick at our different guys, but they pick at me and we pick at each other, and that's good as long as it's done in a good, healthy, positive way. But sometimes I pick at Mike, you know, and Pastor Mike, he's actually the one that first, the end of last year, I think it was, that he really got a word about that God was going to give us breakthrough. Do you remember that? Mike, do you remember that? Of course you do. You know you're the prophet in the house, don't you? Huh? Of course he does. He's been waiting for all the rest of us to catch on. But God gave Mike a word that for this year that it was going to be breakthrough. You remember that? And this year, we had a conference we called Breakthrough, didn't we? That I led, and we had a powerful move of God, and we just sensed that God was really gearing us up for a whole new season, and that God wanted to do something fresh and new in us and through us. Then we waited a couple months or a few months, and we had another one of those conferences, and that was in the summer sometime. July, we had a powerful time, and out of that, it was so powerful that, different ones started saying that, you know, we heard a call of, like, people saying we need to continue meeting like this, and so we began after that in July having, where I started leading these Holy Spirit services. We said that we were going to do that up until the prophetic conference, and of course we did. Then the prophetic conference came, and we had a powerful time, and I felt that God was going to use that moment to speak to us about this season in our church, and he certainly did. There's no question about it. Now we move on. I want to interject in there that in those weeks, many weeks from the conference in July up until this prophetic conference this last week, it's like, and I won't explain this, you know, because it'd take too long to explain, and even after I did, you may not really understand it. I may understand something that I can't articulate, but through those many weeks, we went through different seasons, even in those weeks, and of different things happening, and sometimes, you know, the tide was higher than others, and so forth, that depends. A lot of that is determined by a lot of things, but I want to tell you this: far and away, the number one thing that is determined by is the hunger and the desperation of the people for God and for the presence of God. And whenever you are believing God in a local church, now if you're an evangelist traveling around from place to place and setting fires of revival, then you can just keep on and on and on, and, you know, and just lighting fires, and because new people are getting baptized in the Spirit and the fire of God all the time. But as a local church, one thing that happens is that people will get a revival in their own soul, which that's really what's happening. Look, I am forever grateful for that, and it's just blessed me so much. There's so many testimonies that we've had, and people get revived in their soul, and they get a fresh baptism of the Spirit, and then after a while, you know, then many I'm not saying they're not hungry for God to a certain level, but how many of you understand there are different levels of hunger? Physical hunger, just like there is spiritual hunger. And what will happen is after a while, at first, when they first got touched, they got really baptized afresh because they were so desperate. It's like they were a dying man in the desert saying, God, I've got to have something. And then when they get touched powerfully and then soak in that for a time, then some people, to their own detriment, begin to lose some of their hunger. And they still love to, some of them still love to come and be touched by God just because it, you know it makes them feel better, you know, whatever. But they lose sight of what the real objective is, what the real purpose is, which of course is not just to come and get touched and get blessed so that we can keep coming back to the same place or level that we were before. But it's so that we can accomplish something great in the kingdom of God. God's got his hand on us as a church, and he's leading us somewhere. I know that as sure as I know my own name. But that requires us to take and continually move, you know, even in these services, you know, with what God is doing. You know, I've said something like this before, but I think I'm probably, ironically, the most discontent person in this house. And not just now, but at all times. It's because I think I'm always seeing something beyond where we are. And I guess it's certainly not because I'm so smart. I'm nothing. I'm not near as smart as a lot of other people, but it's obviously, it must be a gift of God that he's given me, you know, because of what he's called me to do. But I can see things, you know, where God wants us to go. And I can see real clearly what is not right many times, not all the time, but many times what is not right and what is right. And I have this great passion for us to continually move on to become the great army that God has called us to be, which is filled with the Holy Spirit, continuing to move in the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. But if we don't hear God's voice to continue to move on and be and do what God's called us to be and do, then what happens is the river of God, for some people, can become a pool like in the backyard for kids to play in. And that, to be honest with you, I've seen that before. And different places, and it becomes nauseating to me, and I think that it's displeasing to God. And because the presence of God is very holy, and when God's presence is there real strong, he's there to do something in us, to make a difference in us, that we may make a difference in our world. If all of you are on the same page with me so far, say yes.
Yes.
All right. So, you know, we've had these ups and downs of the tide, and I actually sensed, to be honest, sensed not in many of you. It's interesting, you know. It's like, you know, we had the crowds after that conference in July larger, and they stayed larger for a little while. And then why do they pare down some? It's because of what I'm just telling you, what I just finished telling you. So what that would tell you is that the people who still continue to come are all of you who still have that edge of hunger in your soul, right?
Yes.
And, you know, you're hungry. I mean, look, come on, for heaven's sake. Here, the Cardinals are playing in the playoffs tonight, and you're here. I mean, you've got a hunger, right? Amen. And so in a sense, I'm telling you these things not because it's you that I'm talking about. I'm trying to explain the dynamics of, you know, how I think and where I believe God wants us to go. You know, it's interesting. I'll just interject this, that, oh, rakamaka chikihe, hallelujah. You know, I after this conference last week, then on Thursday night, I spoke at another conference, and at another church, and at this conference, there was this woman who was going to speak a couple nights later. She was going to speak on Saturday, and she was already there, and She's from Denver, Colorado, and I'd never met her. And after I got finished preaching, she came up and told the pastor she had a word for me. I mean, here we just came out of the prophetic conference, you know, and it was amazing. And so she came up, and this dear sister, it's interesting, she prophesied singing and playing at the piano. It's quite interesting, and I won't tell you the whole prophecy, but the reason I even bring it up is that she said something I thought very, very powerful, and that is a couple of things. She said something that she said, and she was singing it. So you have to imagine this. I'm not going to sing it, but she sang it, and she was singing. She said, and she doesn't know me. I mean, she doesn't know where I'm at in my life or us as a church or anything. And she started singing. She's saying, "You have had weakness in your knees," which is actually true. And she says, "You have encountered weakness in your knees and to where you can't run like you used to." And she said, "You have bemoaned that fact," and you said, "I want to run again like I used to." She says, and now she's speaking, of course, not physically, then spiritually. You know, God always, there's many times a twofold. Y'all understand that? Even in the Bible, a twofold, like, sword there, cutting two different ways, and this with the physical and the spiritual. She said, so you become weak in your knees, and you said, "I can't run like I used to run, and I want to run like I used to." She says, but I have surrounded you by disciples that you've raised up. And she says, "You call them sons." And she says, "And through them you shall run." That's pretty powerful, isn't it? She said, "You said you want to run like you used to run." She says, "But you have disciples and you call them sons." She says, "They're all around you and you call them sons." And she says, "And through them you shall run." And she had no idea how that blessed me, because the whole focus of my life and ministry right now, I mean, it's just the truth, to be honest with you. You know, I live wishing I could run like I used to run. And I mean, both physically and spiritually. But God knows what He's doing, and God has everything that we do here is about raising up sons and daughters. When He says sons, that's sons and daughters. And through them, I shall run. Isn't that powerful? And then she spoke something about Josh, and Josh wasn't there, and she didn't. So she doesn't even know how many kids I got or anything. And she said, because I'm tying a couple of things together, but she says she actually saw Josh, the way she said it, she said it's either your son, your biological son, or one of your spiritual sons. So she wasn't sure about it. So who knows? Maybe it's Josh, maybe it's one of the spiritual sons. But when you hear what she said, it sounds like Josh. It's like, but she said, "I saw him sitting under this tent," was it? Up on a hill. And said he was looking at a tent. And she says there was this cross, like a red type of cross, looked like a red cross on this tent. And he was staring at it. He just looked at it for a long time. And what's interesting, after the service, that Donna got on our website and showed her our logo. And she goes, "Oh my, that's exactly what I saw in this vision that God gave me." Said he was looking and staring at that cross. And says that he said to me, to his dad, said to me, he said, "Dad," he said, and I'm not going to say exact, I'm going to mess it up probably, but wait. He says that we're not going to be just a hospital like we used to be. No, he says, we can't be a hospital like we used to be. He says, we've got to be an army, raise up an army. And she didn't know, of course she's saying that, she didn't know that for many years, the number one thing I used to say about it, I said, we're like a hospital taking in the hurting. And some of you remember that. And helping hurting people, you know, we're a hospital. And then, but she doesn't know. She couldn't know this. Josh has told me on numerous occasions in no uncertain terms to my face. He says, "Dad," He said, we've got to raise these, move on. In other words, he said it different ways, you know, but Dad, we've got to disciple these people. We've got to raise them up. We've got to build this army. And, you know, in other words, he knows I'm too much of a softy, you know, trying to just nurture everybody's hurts and wounds all the time. You know, he says, you know, we got to grow them up. Y'all out there today. And so anyway, you know, and I could tell you much more, but all that to say that, you know, God is certainly, his hand is certainly on us, and God is speaking to us. In this prophetic conference, the Lord's Gorokashkiminehe, hallelujah. Oh, wait just a minute. Gobashikete. Hallelujah. When Jim LaFoon prophesied to Don and myself this last week, one of the things that he said was that he talked about how that God had brought this whole new, however he said it, fresh wave or move of the Spirit, whatever, you know, and he put his finger on that. But then he said this, he said, Rick, just as you have plowed in your preaching and teaching for this move, you plowed for the move of God, which y'all know, remember in those days, all those many messages that I said, it wasn't just on the glory, it was about repentance, and it was about, you know, all that other stuff, you know, plowing for the move of God. And he said, just as you plowed for the move of God, he said, so now you must plow for the move of prayer. For a move of prayer, and then ultimately plow for a move of evangelism. Y'all, how many of y'all remember that, huh? And so it's important that I do that. And I said I was going to take a few moments here, and I've already taken more than a few moments. But let me just do this just a little bit. This is so important for us. The Bible says this in the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 12 and 13. It says, then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the table of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And there's no question that, look, I believe that one of the main reasons, probably the main reason why we've experienced what we have already in this house, is because we have so many intercessors in this house. I called one night, a couple months back, all of the people who believe they have a call, not just that they pray, but they have a call to intercession. They are a called intercessor. And walking that, I asked them to come up and I'm going to lay hands on them. And I mean, from one wall to the other, they were lined up in this house. And I don't know if you know how unusual that is in this day and hour, that out of the church size, or at least a crowd that size at night, to have that many intercessors, called intercessors in the house. And I believe it's because of those intercessors and the praying that they've been doing that we've experienced what we have. But that's not enough. Now we must build this house into a house of prayer. If we are going to continue to move on in what God has called us to be, which ultimately it's really just one thing, fulfill the Great Commission. We've got to touch this city and the nation and the world. That's just all that we exist for. You know, we can't just exist, you know, for just getting touched, you know, getting baptized in the Spirit. We have to get more people baptized in the Spirit. We must build this house into a house of prayer, not just a house where there's a bunch of people, you know, three services, two here and one at Central West End, or four, another one over Waterloo later, you know, then a certain section of them, intercessors in the house. We must build this house into a house of prayer. So you will see me over this next little bit, take certain Sundays and begin to build that house of prayer through some of my messages. But I wanted to just say this tonight about prayer, that we must build that house of prayer, and there's two ways that we can build that house of prayer. And number one is this, and that is to build lives of prayer. And the number two thing we must do is to build an army of intercessors, where the whole house begins to pray intercessory prayers. Number one, we must build lives of prayer. You will never get intercessors until you first get people to build their own life as a house of prayer, to where that their life becomes a life of prayer. And I'm going to endeavor to do that in the days ahead. And where that we get this people to build a greater hunger to pray, to seek God, and to build their life as a life of prayer. My life, as any pastor or preacher should be, that my life is built on prayer. Prayer becomes before the study of the Word. It becomes before preaching. It becomes before any kind of ministry. You know, the apostles, whenever they appointed different people to take care of other business that they were having to take care of, they said, let's do it. And they didn't say, let's do it just so we can give ourselves to ministry. They said, let's do it so we can give ourselves to prayer. Prayer was first, and then the Word. Prayer and the Word. It is a terrible crying shame, a terrible disgrace for any pastor, and there are many of them today, by the way, but any pastor to carry on his ministry in the church, be preaching, ministering to the people, but not building a life of prayer. You must pray first before you do anything else. You must pray first and pray most before you do anything else, more than you do anything else. That everything in your life must come out of prayer. We stumble along, it seems, at times. Things don't move as fast as what I think they ought to at times. But yet, because my life and the lives of the leaders in this house are built on prayer first, because of that, it's amazing how that we can seem to take a little detour here and there, or walk along through a dry place here or there, but somehow we always seem to get to the next place. We always seem to move forward and arrive at the next station on the journey. Y'all listen to me now. It's because it's a skoramanjinganaha. It's because it's a spiritual journey anyway. It's not a natural journey. You can't look at it and measure each incremental point along the way and see all your steps in order, because in many times in the natural, the ways of God look like one step backward and then two steps forward. Sometimes they look like two steps backward and two, and then one step forward. Sometimes it looks like a left turn when there should be a right turn. Sometimes you can't see the hand of God along your journey. But God then later on, as you've walked through a season of blind faith, then God shows up in a moment of time and He jumps you ahead of where the others are to where you should have been all along. It's because you're not promoting yourself. And you're not carrying your own self along the journey. And you're not making your own plan. And you're not working in your own energy or your own flesh. But you're working through the labor of prayer, which is a labor of spirit. It's a labor of the Holy Ghost. And it's the Holy Ghost that knows where you need to be. Your mind doesn't know where you need to go. Your mind doesn't know what you need to do. Your mind doesn't know what's coming tomorrow. How can you plan the work of the church by the natural effort of the mind? How can you plan the year or the 5 years ahead by your own creativity or your own genius or your own energy or the own strength of your own flesh? Because it's a work of the Holy Ghost. Only God knows where the world's going to be next year. And because He knows, if we pray first and then work later, out of the energy of our prayer, the Holy Ghost, who knows what's going to happen. Who knows who's going to be president? Who knows what's going to happen in our nation? Who knows what this city's going to be like a year and 5 years from now? He can position this church. He can position you exactly where he wants you to be. And when God does that, those who pray, he has a way of letting them set what looks like in the back seat of things for sometimes a year or 5 years, and it looks like others are moving ahead and you're going nowhere. But those who have gone into the womb of prayer and made their life a house of prayer, God has a way of keeping them on hold for a while and then jettisoning them to the front, the forefront of what God is doing in that day because they've prayed. Oh, only man knows the things of the spirit of man, but only the Holy Ghost knows the things of the spirit. You can't know them with your natural mind. That's why you need the Holy Ghost when you pray, because your natural mind doesn't know the things you need to pray when you ought to pray. And so the Holy Spirit comes and helps your infirmities or your weaknesses or your inabilities or your shortcomings in your own thinking, in your own reasoning, and he helps you how? With groanings which cannot be uttered. Are you listening to me? That's help of the Holy Spirit. Those who pray first find themselves sometimes going through very interesting, sometimes disconcerting journeys and paths, but then they find themselves down the road ending up right exactly where God wanted them in the first place. Hallelujah. 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 We know. Woo! My Jesus, help us. Hallelujah. Korabaskinini. We know that Jesus built his life as a life of prayer. He was an intercessor. He's the master intercessor. He's our intercessor today. One of the beautiful things I love to think about when I pray is that I have two intercessors who are joining with me in prayer. The Holy Ghost is my intercessor. He is interceding through me. Hambroski mana, the mind of the Spirit. But I've got another intercessor, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, oh, making intercession for us. Are you listen to me now? So whenever I pray, one of the greatest hindrances to building a life of prayer is people feel like that it doesn't count when they pray because it feels weak. It feels simple. It feels like gibberish. It feels childish. It feels like it's not making sense, and it feels like it's not getting anywhere. But what they don't understand, oh, Rabanganaha, when you pray, you're only one third of the team that's praying. It's you and Jesus and the Holy Ghost. And brother, they know exactly what to pray. That's why I'm a believer in the fact you don't need 10-part series in knowing how to pray before you can shake hell and get heaven's attention in prayer and change things in earth, because God takes the prayer of a child. God takes the prayer, help! He takes the prayer, God, I need you! He takes the prayer, come! He takes the prayer, oh God, change things! And he takes that simple childlike cry of the heart, and who knows what Jesus is saying before the Father when that child is crying out, or what the Holy Ghost is praying. Ours may just be help, but the Holy Ghost is praying all the intricacies of the divine will of the Father, and Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's saying, that's right, look at the blood, look at the blood, help him, Father. Push back the gates of darkness. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Father, through my blood, I have paid the price for him to cry that cry right now. Y'all out there today. Jesus built his life on that kind of prayer life. That's why he got up early in the morning and spent a great while before day in prayer. That's why he stayed up at night at times. That's why some nights he gave a whole night to prayer. That's how he could be. That's why he showed up in the middle of the night out there on the water when the disciples were in the boat. He had been praying all that time before he got out there on the water. Jesus spent much time in prayer, and that's why he went out and he prayed very short prayers in carrying on the work that God called him to do throughout the day. Y'all listen to me today. So I just listened, and I'm going to talk about how that we need to build intercessors. How did I say it? That we need to build an army of intercessors. But I feel like just pressed to just stop this right here. And I'm going to ask you this question. Can y'all see what my burden is tonight? Can you see this? Listen, that we have something to do. We have somewhere to go. Give me some more lights here, if you will. We have somewhere to go. And God has called us. Listen, one of the things I'm troubled about, when I say trouble, I'm not saying in a negative way, but you know, you always get troubled about things in your spirit. It's the troubling of the spirit before God, you know, does something, you see. But one of the things that I'm troubled about in this season is we've got a great presence of the Lord, but we're seeing very few people saved. And this church, down through so many years, that we were known by the fact that we would have multitudes of people saved all the time, both at this altar, and then throughout the week, you know, all over different places. And I assume that there's different reasons why that's happening. But I'm telling you this, don't let what I just said and that I'm troubled about, don't let it become a negative and get you down. Because I'm going to tell you right now, we're not going to sit here and let that happen. That what God said, as you plowed for the move of God, then plow for a move of prayer. Prayer precedes evangelism. Are you listening to me now? Now, it's going to lead to evangelism. And folks, I'm just telling you, that's where we're headed. We exist for one reason, not just to cloister ourselves in prayer or not just to have Holy Ghost meetings. We only exist for one reason. All that's worthless if we don't reach multitudes of people. If I'm telling you what, I will, if it takes everything I've got in me until my dying breath, I will live to see this church, and not a long time from now. You give us another little bit of time, and I will live to see this church reaching multitudes of people, saved people, not just having people come from other places, churches, but I'm saying people getting saved, both here at the altar. Y'all listen to me. Where this altar is filled with people getting saved, and every service, and where people are getting saved all throughout the week by all the believers in this house, and where special campaigns are going on Saturdays in the neighborhoods and different times and all kinds of things taking place. Ultimately, that's the only reason we exist. But folks, we can't just go out and start making plans and doing a bunch of stuff in the energy of our flesh. We've got to go in the womb of prayer, and we've got to pray. Pray. The 127th Psalm says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, they stay awake in vain who guard the city. Are y'all listening to me now? Now it's us. We got to go do the work, but we've got to do it birthed out of the empowering of the Holy Spirit that comes through a movement of prayer.
Thank you for being part of the teaching ministry of Life Church. Our hope is that you take this message and apply it to your life in a practical way. If you would like more information about this ministry and you are in the St. Louis area, call us at 314-843-5575. If you are outside the St. Louis area, call us toll-free at 1-800-610-LIFE. If you would like to write us, our address is 1416 Larkin Williams Road, Fenton, Missouri, 63026, or visit us at our website at lifechurch-stl.com.